Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/federalnewsradio.
What does it take to run more than 800 miles in 31 days? A lot of training and determination. Retired Marine Corps Sergeant Rob Jones, a double amputee, did just that. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni spoke with Jones during the Modern Day Marine Military Expo in Quantico, Virginia, about what it means to be wounded but not broken.
Yeah, I trained for a year and a half.
Wow.
And, you know, it went smoothly. I started in London, and then from London I flew to Philadelphia, and then I went basically from Philadelphia in a counterclockwise circle hitting 31 total cities and finished in Washington, D.C. on Veterans Day.
So since we're on radio, I'll point out that you lost both of your legs, and would you mind just kind of giving us a little bit about your injury?
Yeah, sure. I was a combat engineer in the Marine Corps, and combat engineers are primarily tasked with using explosives to breach obstacles and also clearing safe routes through danger areas that have a high likelihood of containing IEDs in them. And so, you know, long story short, I was attempting to clear a route through a danger area on July 22nd, 2010, when, you know, the IED found me that day instead of me finding it. And
right.
That resulted in double above knee amputations.
So you had a process of getting back to regular strength, right? And mm-hmm. then also becoming this ultra marathoner, really. So what goes into just practicing something like this? I mean, that's an amazing amount. It's hundreds of miles that you just ran in 1 month.
Yeah, 812, I think it was. yeah, I mean, it all started from, you know, the tourniquets being put on my legs. You got to save my life first. I have to survive it first.
Sure.
And then the recovery came next. And so relearning how to walk took about a year till I was really comfortable walking everywhere I went. And then at that point, I started kind of doing extracurricular stuff like learning how to run, learning how to ride a bicycle, learning sports and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, it just kind of takes time to, you know, develop the movement patterns and strengthen, you know, parts of your body that are being used in a different way than they're used to being used. Because my running gait, I swing my legs to the outside of my body mm-hmm. instead of bringing them underneath me. And so when I was training for the month of marathons, I'd already actually been an athlete for 5 years, so I had that kind of base behind me. And then what I kind of tried to focus on was just developing, really thickening my connective tissues so that they could withstand the pounding, you know, day after day after day for 26 miles. And on top of that, making sure I was fat adapted, so I was able to burn fat for fuel really efficiently.
Right.
And then on top of that, I had to train my cardiovascular system. So I basically did this thing called cardiovascular efficiency training where I kept my heart rate under 150 and every single training session. And so what that does is it makes you faster at the same heart rate.
Gotcha.
So I kind of, it makes your heart and lungs more efficient.
Now, you mentioned this broken, or this wounded does not mean broken,
right?
Scenario. And, you know, I think something, when people came back from Vietnam, that was kind of something that ended up being a stigma. And there was a lot of veterans that had to deal with a lot of issues with
right.
those, that kind of thing. How has that empowered you? And what's like the whole message that you're really looking for there?
Right. Well, yeah, there is a stigma with mental injuries or psychological injuries, mm-hmm. but there isn't a stigma with physical injuries. And so I guess my whole point, or one of the things I've come to know, is that, you know, they're both injuries, and they're both things that happen to certain people and don't happen to other people. And so there's really no shame in, you know, suffering a mental injury, because you're the only one that's experienced everything that you've experienced in your life. And it's just a little bit more of a complicated issue, you know. With a physical injury, you either get shot or you don't, or you step on an IED or you don't.
Right.
Whereas with a mental or psychological injury, the brain is so much more complicated. We don't even understand exactly how it works. So there is that stigma, but I don't really think it's a deserved stigma.
Tell me about the people that you met along the way in these 31 cities. I mean, Were they inspired? Did you have people cheering you on? You know, how did this work out for you?
So I had like Eventbrite pages and Facebook pages and stuff for each of my races, and I would put it out there. You know, I'm going to be running, say, in New York City. I'm going to be starting from here, and I'm going to be running loops of this. I ran loops of the Harlem Mirror in Central Park, and I would put that out on the Eventbrite page, and people would sign up, and I would show up, and I would start running. And when I came out of the RV in the morning, well, which is how I was getting from race to race or run to run, there would always be, you know, a big group of people there waiting to run with me.
Yeah.
Because they believed in what I was doing, and they believed in, they wanted to come out and show that, you know, they love veterans, and, you know, all we really love veterans here. And so the more people I got every day, the more evidence we put to that assertion. And yeah, they would, people would usually run. Most people wouldn't run the whole thing. They would run, you know, just like one chunk and then they'd be done, or they might run two chunks or whatever it may be. But when the times got tough, it was, for example, in San Antonio, it was particularly hot, and I was struggling that day.
Yeah.
For my first 12 kilometers, and for my second, third, and fourth loops, these trainees from the combat controllers course close by came out, and they ran with me, and they sang cadences and stuff, so it really helped me out. So every time I had somebody running with me, it was really helpful.
That's great. It's like a much more meaningful Forrest Gump moment, it sounds like.
Yeah. I was a little bit more articulate than him, I hope.
Yeah, oh, definitely. So tell me about times when it was hard. I mean, you just mentioned, you know, running in San Antonio where it's really hot. I mean, were there ever points where you're just like, I can't go on anymore?
Yeah, you know, I kind of figured when I first started that London was going to be my best marathon, my fastest marathon, and then after that it was basically just going to be me trying to stave off deterioration of my body. And, you know, in D.C. I was going to be crawling across the line,
yeah,
you know, just totally destroyed. But as it turned out, you know, the first 4 days kind of did go, and by my 10th marathon, my 10th one was my fastest one.
Hmm.
And then after that was in Chicago, and then after that I kind of just maintained this this capability and this pace. I maintained pace for almost the whole way around. And so that surprised me, but that's how, you know, you can adapt to just about anything. But when I got to Texas, I had been pretty lucky with all the weather up until Texas, and then Texas hit San Antonio and Houston back-to-back, and then Dallas. But San Antonio and Houston were both very hot, very humid. I just hit up during a heat wave, and so that does tend to, you know, amputees, we get hot easily, and it's a little bit harder for us to cool off because we don't have as much surface area.
Right.
And so the heat does take it out of me. So those 2 days were really tough, but, you know, I made it through because I had people come out and run. I think I had Marine recruiters with all their pulleys there in both cities, and then the combat controller guys came out, and then just all the supporters. But then the last four races were a little bit more difficult because in Nashville I slipped on a wet wooden bridge and I injured my back.
Mm.
I don't know what I did. I never actually went to a doctor, but all I knew was when I landed on my left foot, my back would kind of really hurt really bad in the lower back area. And so that made the last four pretty tough.
What kind of challenges do you have differently than a regular runner may have, you know, someone who has both of their legs? You mentioned the heat and then also, you know, your gait a little bit. What other things do you have to keep in mind?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just it's a little bit easier for me to trip.
Mm-hmm.
And basically my running technique is different, but the principle of how I run is essentially the same. You're planting your foot and you're using the rest of your body to drive off of that foot and propel yourself forward. I'm still doing that just like everybody else. But when I bring my leg around, I bring it to the outside, they bring it underneath of them.
Right.
And since my prosthetic works like a spring, I have to be very careful about which surfaces I run on. So I can really only run on hard-packed surfaces. I can kind of run on grass, but it's really not very efficient. And then I have to make sure I have, you know, a wide berth on either side of me. So I can't really run on mountain trails because I'd be tripping all over the place. And then I have to be careful of undulating ground or, like one time there was not on the month marathons, but when I was training, there was a sewer grate that was sticking out and I caught my foot on that, and I did a front flip and, you know, and fell. Yeah. So I just have to be a little bit more careful with that kind of stuff.
What kind of medical staff and science went into this? I mean, are you using the classic prosthetics, or did you have something specially made for you?
No, I was using just the standard prosthetic running foot that they I used ever since I started. I relearned how to run. My sockets are kind of the most important thing in this in the whole setup, and that's because they have to be. They're what connect me to the prosthetic foot, and so I needed to make sure that those were extremely comfortable, as comfortable as I could possibly get them.
Right.
And so, you know, I went, my prosthetist is in Denver. He used to work at Wall 3. Now he works in Denver. And so I went out to him, and we made these legs to make sure they were nice and comfortable. And I would, there's these little sock things that you can put on to make your stump thicker in certain parts. So I just made sure it was comfortable every day. And then I actually used chamois cream underneath of the prosthetic in order to minimize any kind of friction.
Great. Well, Rob Jodes, truly an inspiration. 31 marathons in 31 days. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.